You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Welcome to Fix It and Flip It. The current real estate market is ripe for rehabbing. If you want to learn how to buy the right property at the right price and learn how to project and control costs, then you've come to the right place. Our host, Tony Raffin, is from the number one REMAX team in southeastern Michigan. And Kevin McClellan is Mr. Flipper Extraordinaire. Now, let's welcome Tony and Kevin. This is Fix It and Flip It.
Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Kevin.
How are you?
Great.
Good.
Having coffee this morning.
Yeah. Got to wake up. I'm not a morning person.
Oh, my gosh. That holiday, we had a double holiday weekend before the 4th of July, after the 4th of July.
Yeah. What'd you guys do with the 4th? Anything good?
God, my memory seems to fool me.
And Tony just showed his age. All right.
Gosh, I'm sorry, guys.
It's only a week ago.
Yeah.
It's 1 week ago today, Tone. Did you on the water? I mean, did you go?
No, you know what? Yeah, we did go on the water. We went on the water for a little bit. Jess? Yeah. We did go on the water for a little bit. It was very calm. It was fun. It was relaxing. But, you know, we always have boat troubles. You know what they say boat stands for? Bail out another thousand.
Bust out another thousand.
Or bust out another thousand.
Bring out another thousand.
Yeah, blew a upper unit on the port side.
Did
it's
you?
Like, yeah, this is just getting ridiculous.
I will never buy a boat. All my friends have them, you know?
Stay with them.
You got a 38-foot cigarette. My buddy's got a 45-foot Sundance. What do I do? My buddy's got a center console. My buddy's got a pontoon boat. What do I do?
I know.
Why would I ever buy one? Well, we got a special guest today.
Oh, we got a real special guest today.
Big one. We got a lot of questions for this guy.
It's grilling time for Kevin today. Today we have the CEO or the hipster, as we call him, the hip CEO of Home Inspection Professionals, Kevin Stripling. Kevin, welcome to the show. Where's our clapping? Yay!
Hello, welcome.
Tony sent him to the wrong address, but he's here.
Yeah.
I was going to say he was out on an inspection and he raced over here, but I'd be lying.
To tell you the truth, I was on an inspection this morning.
Were you?
So yeah.
How'd it go?
It went well. It was just reinspection. Water wasn't on. We did the inspection, so had to go back over there and take a look at it. Everything checked out fine. So.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin owns one of the biggest and most successful home inspection companies, HIP Home Inspection Professionals, in this, you know, in the Tri-County area. The guy's all over the place. He's built quite a crew of guys. He sends him and his guys all over the country getting certified and all the different aspects of you know, inspecting a home. I mean, you have so many different things. Name some things. You got radon now. You got asbestos.
That's right. I'm a licensed builder. I am a certified mold inspector and remediator. State of Michigan certified asbestos inspector. I'm actually a 203K consultant.
Are you really?
I am a 203K consultant. So if you get into a rehab.
Which is what we're talking about today. It's going to really help us quite a bit.
So when you do a 203K, basically what we do is we go in and we do the consulting. So we're the liaison between the lender, the contractor, and the client. So
those get complicated, don't they?
They can be.
Yeah. We'll go into that in a second.
Yeah,
let's get into the basics here real quick.
A lot
because
of people.
Kevin, I met you. Let's see, this is 2018, so I think it was 2001.
Probably. I've been doing inspections since '99. I went to work for a franchise in 1999, and that's when I met you, Tony.
So then it was 1999, yes.
Yeah, 2000.
Wow.
And then
first years.
I think it was the first inspection he ever did, too, or something like that. Yeah.
So I worked for a franchise for about 4 years. And then in 2003, I actually started Home Inspection Professionals. And realistically, we haven't looked back. And I would tell you that Tony Raffin is one of my biggest proponents. And we've done a lot of inspections for you over the
biggest
years.
Thing that I get out of Kevin is – he's not just a professional at what he does, and this is a compliment to you. I have been in real estate now. This is my 28th year. Wow, long time.
Where did the time go?
I don't know. He couldn't remember what he did last week.
I couldn't remember what I did. I know.
So surprised he can remember back.
But you know what's
years.
Really weird is I look at Kevin, and Kevin has replicated himself with every one of his inspectors. So if you don't get Kevin, you get Paul. If you don't get Paul, you get so, you know, it doesn't matter who you get. You're getting the same exact thing. It's like you can go to McDonald's in Michigan and go to McDonald's in California and go to McDonald's in France, and they all are the same.
Well, I mean, that's like Marcus Lemonis speaks of the three P's, people, process, product, right?
That's right.
So he's
that's
probably replicated each three of those in terms of the process of the way, probably the biggest P is the process of the way that they
Yes, his process is down
pat. I'm sure there's checklists. There's, I mean, itinerary of exactly how they're going to do it. I mean, every house is different.
I'm wondering why you don't franchise. I mean, literally, it's probably in the works, and that's what you're thinking
of. We're going to talk to our attorneys about that.
But no, I'm serious, because the way you do things, and I know you do micromanage a lot, but what you've created was is a good lifestyle for yourself and your family, a good job for your inspectors, and a great service for us as real estate professionals. And for me, I tell everybody, they're like, oh, you're such a great realtor. You're this, you're that. It's like, I'm not a great realtor.
Who says that?
Everybody.
I would say that you
everybody.
Are, Tony. Honestly, you know, and the one thing, too, about you, Tony, is, I mean, I see your integrity and your honesty with your clients. And
well, thank you.
I think that building your business and staying in for the long haul, as we've all done,
correct.
I mean, you have to be honest. And realistically, I know this sounds crazy, but really, I didn't go into this to you know,
make
millions of dollars. I mean, my theory on this is I'm protective, and I care about all my clients. So realistically, when we go and do an inspection, it's not like we're just turning and burning on this. I mean, I actually have, you know, I feel like I'm vested with the client too.
Not only ethically and morally, I'm sure you do, but I mean, liability wise.
Oh, you have to be. Yeah, there's a lot of liability.
You're the one signing off, saying.
Yeah, especially with all the new certifications you've got just more and more.
I mean, I can't believe how in depth I've you know. People know I've, you know, sold my own properties, over 100 properties, and I've gotten 100 reports back.
Yeah, right.
And I cannot believe over the years how much more in depth and
sure.
scrutinize.
And I was one of the first ones in Macomb County. I mean, because that's our backyard. I mean, we're based out of St. Clair Shores, but we
but
go
you
everywhere.
You guys go everywhere.
We go
right.
everywhere. But realistically, I was one of the first inspectors in Macomb County to actually start using digital photos and to start using computer generated report writing.
Yeah.
And we're always evolving, and realistically, our reports have gotten to the point where we're actually getting ready to change our platform for our software, and it's a big jump, and we're going to be tablet wise and phone wise. And so, I mean, I've always embraced the technology.
Yeah.
Times change.
Well, you know what's funny was the best part of what I do is I recommend people to, you know, certain contractors, certain trades, you know, and I know you're not supposed to, hey, you can use this inspector or one of these inspectors, and I don't
well, it's inevitable that one of your buyers is gonna ask you.
And
do you
here's
have a
the weird part about it.
I'll say,
you know, we can give you a couple recommendations.
That's
you
right.
can look in the phone book.
That's right.
I said, but if it was my house, if you want my opinion, what I like, and I would say, here's Kevin. And the funny part about it is, I look like a rock star
right.
when he walks out of the room, because they're like, oh my God, he was great, whether the deal dies or not, because it isn't about the deal. We all know that.
That's right.
It's about the relationship. And if he kills a deal because he says, this isn't going to work, or this is going to be this, or forget this isn't going to work, this is what it's going to take to repair it. Are you ready
right.
for that job?
Yeah, and you just used a key term, a deal killer. And one thing I've heard...
I don't like that term.
Well, and one thing I've...
Well, that's for regular agents.
But one thing I've heard in the real estate community, because obviously I know, you know, even though I'm not a realtor, I know a ton of realtors and home inspectors that have heard Kevin and his company, they're not deal killers.
Okay.
You know, they're going to give you the information, right? And they're going to explain things.
That's right.
And let the agent and let the buyer make the decision.
It's my job to make observations and report deficiencies. And honestly, we don't really give estimates on hand, but with our experience, and I've got an estimation background as a licensed builder and a previous home builder, I can kind of give you an idea of a ballpark of what the repair is going to cost.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you, because I feel I've ran into them, do you feel there are probably more independent fly-by-night guys that are deal killers that maybe kill a deal two or three because, quite frankly, they're just turning one client
right.
into four.
And they want
return
business.
And I swear I found it. I mean, I've had some reports back that I truly think things were made up. I'm like,
yeah.
You know, they said I use an electrical cord to attach a dishwasher. I'm like, no, that's the proper whip that you use. I mean, I don't know
right.
what I don't know what to tell the buyer at that point when somebody's giving them false information. It's frustrating.
That can't
somebody
be.
Trying to sell a house and invest in real estate. You know?
Exactly. And so when you get to that point where, you know, you have somebody who wants to as an inspector who wants to turn another deal into another deal and, you know, just
yeah.
keep it perpetual. it's not how we do it.
No, I mean, you don't have to. You got enough business, right?
That's right. I mean, we look at it, you know, like I said earlier, Tony, that we're vested with the client, and it's mm-hmm. our interest as well, and we want them to be, you know, and I consider myself an educator, and I'm very happy about what I do. Just because of the benefit that I'm educating people yeah. on their purchase and just looking out.
It's funny because I say the same thing. People say to me, you know, you sold so many houses, and I've sold over 7,000 homes in my career, but I've never sold one. Okay.
Yeah.
We educate. We have two jobs, and you're probably the same. And I'll go into a second. The first one is to educate, because that's the most important thing, is to educate your clients so they can make a good decision. The second job we have is to entertain. And Kevin's got some great one-liners, you know, like people get wrinkles, houses get cracks, cars get rust.
And women get beauty lines.
So it's a little chuckle here and there, but at the end of the day, it's fact-based, it's knowledge-based, and after somebody goes through an inspection with Kevin, they can really, or his team, they can really go in and start learning about what they're doing. And my wife and I just got done doing a rehab in St. Clair Shores.
Okay.
And the funny part about it is going through all the inspections she's gone through with you and your team.
Sure.
She's like, well, what about this baffle vent that's supposed to be over here? And I'm looking at her. I'm like, where'd you learn that from? Right. She goes, Kevin, what do you think? Right, and it's like,
hey, Tony, how many types of basements are there in Michigan?
There's two. Those that leak and those are going to leak.
Where'd you learn that?
Listen, I've got more one-liners that this guy has given me. It's because I go through his inspections and I've built several houses and I've done several rehabs, but I always learn something every time I go through with you, and it doesn't matter how many times I go through it. I always learn something.
How many inspections do you guys do? I don't know if you can release that info, but I mean,
you know, I think last year we did probably about, we were 1500.
Wow.
Oh my God.
1500 inspections. But you have to understand, you know, let me give a big kudos to my staff.
How many guys you got on staff?
Well, we've got Paul, we've got Jerry, I've got Kyle who does my sewer scoping. We do sewer scoping now. And does all of our septic and well evaluations. I've got Chris, and I've got Tina, who is my rock, my right-hand person, who handles all the back of the house. And I've got Kristen, who answers phones from, you know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon and 1 o'clock until 7 o'clock at night. So our customer service is impeccable. I like to say that.
Absolutely.
And honestly, I wouldn't be here today without my staff.
So how do you deal with, you know, just in general, we're in the – you know, the society and time frame of everybody wants it done now, right? So especially with as competitive as the real estate market is with multiple offers, you know, I get offers with 10-day inspections, and one of my things is, no, I want it done in 3 or 5. Like, I mean, it's just because in case something, you know, you guys back out, this or that, I want to move on to because I got 3 other offers that I'm...
I got you. So when
they call you and say, hey, we need this done, today's Thursday, we need it on Saturday.
Well, usually we can accommodate. We can usually accommodate you, and that's why we have with our inspectors, we're able to fill that in. I mean, what we're seeing today, though, and this, you know, with the no inventory on the market, a lot of times agents will start using the contingency period for negotiation. Like, you have a 24, I had that last year. We have a 24-hour home inspection contingency. I'm like, you're not going to get anybody of any good quality.
Anybody of any quality, yeah.
I mean,
and especially the agents that aren't the inspectors that aren't computerized. We had an inspection a couple weeks ago, and the guy did the inspection in the morning. And he's like, I'll have the inspection to you tomorrow afternoon. What?
Right.
How are you going to go back and write an inspection up and print everything off and then hand it to them?
That's right. It's part of the training we give you same day. I mean, we don't do same day service in regards to booking inspections. But realistically, we're usually about 3 to 5 days out. That gives you a little bit of comfort with that. But you get the report at the time of the inspection. So in our average inspection,
it's in your email and it's done.
By the time we leave the inspection, it's on your phone. And we usually ask you, have you checked your phone? Has the phone pinged yet? Because you get the inspection.
Now the buyers and the isn't. I just heard that the agent, it's somewhat law or whatever you call it, that the agent has to be present during inspection. Or
absolutely not. The agent does not have to be present. The seller's agent. And me as a seller's agent, I do not go to home inspections because once a seller or the seller's agent knows about a certain issue, let's say something happened, a toilet leak or something like that, you've got to disclose that on the seller's disclosure statement. And especially when you work for financial institutions, banks, or, you know, for what we're talking about, flips, they refuse to allow us to be there, and they do not want any reports because they do not want to have to disclose any defects because they didn't know about them before and they don't want to know about them now.
My opinion on that is I prefer when the buyer's agent is there.
Right.
And also
and the buyer. Right? And the buyer, right?
I recommend it, especially on the investment side of things.
Right, what percentage of owner-occupant buyers, aren't they there like 90-some percent of the time?
I would probably tell you, yeah, I don't know
they
the true
be
percentage.
There. They want to meet you. They want to see what you do.
And what
right?
happens what is sometimes, you know, we get into hostile situations where, you know, I've seen this in the last month where people don't, you know, they don't want to sell the house or, they, you know, they're just, you know, they're counter. I don't know what the term for that. They're going back behind me and saying, well, I've never had a problem with that, and that electrical's fine. And a lot of times when my agent's there, I can let them run interference for me so they can talk to the seller that's at the house, and just, you know, they want to make sure that the house is locked up and just everything is the way that they left it. We left it. So the way that we found it, I should say.
Yeah.
So,
as a buyer's agent, I always show up.
Yeah.
To home sure. inspections. You know that I walk through.
That's right.
I help you give your one-liners.
That's right. Tony knows my spiel.
I know,
so he can actually
I know how gutters need to be 4 feet.
A lot of realtors have a good relationship with an inspector. I mean, that's a big component. I mean, besides the appraisal, the inspection, and then just getting it to close are the, you know, the three main components
it's
of getting
so
a deal.
Weird. I don't know close. How anybody cannot have a relationship with this guy.
Right.
He is by far, I tell everybody, the best of the best. And once again, I'm not saying it because I'm looking for something for free, but I tell you one thing, he makes me look so good.
Well, I'm sure when he shows up, those buyers, this is their biggest purchase of their life.
Right.
That's right.
I mean, we all know that when mm-hmm. it comes to the house. So there's emotions involved. There's anxiety. Mm-hmm. There's nerves. Very there's nice. Cold feet. So when he shows up, I bet they look at him like he's, you know, he's God. I mean, like, what?
Well,
I mean, there's so much trust.
I've built him up enough, you know, and he's never let me down ever.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing about it was when you show up with the client, I mean, realistically, impressions are like that. You have 30 seconds to make an impression on somebody. And the way that we come out, and all of us, we say the same thing. And this is how it's going to happen, and this is what's going on. I need you to follow me along. Here we go.
What's the average inspection time? I mean, I know it depends on the size of house and how many rooms, you know, but your average, what is it, 3 hour to 4 hour?
I would probably, I tell you about 2.5 hours, but realistically, I tell all my agents, allocate 2 to 3 hours, realistically 3 hours, just in case something, what we find and what we don't find.
Then we also have, what do you call it? You call the inspection a little bit different, like an investor inspection.
Sure.
It's a little bit different because usually the house is vacant, so you don't have anything to move around. So it's what is that called?
Well, we do investment inspections. I've got investors from all over the world that use our services. We usually give a little bit of a discount price. I mean, you start doing us in bulk.
Yeah.
You know, you were going to give you the discounted price for it. But a lot of times when I'm dealing with investors overseas, that sight unseen, we take a lot of digital pictures and we put that in the report. Sometimes we do cost of cures. We can actually put the cost of cures inside the report because a lot of these investors from all over the world, they're not going to see this property.
No.
They got
feet on the ground here. They got
sure.
they got
contractors
yeah,
and their agents.
Contractor, and they're not getting the best information.
So,
happened to a buddy of mine out in California. He sent his, you know, GC by and kind of missed that the, you know, the basement wall was, you know, cracked and you know, in bowing and, you know.
And the other thing too is, you know, when you go on the investment side of it, keep in mind I've been doing this 19 years and it's one of these situations where I know neighborhoods pretty well.
Yeah.
St. Clair Shores is my backyard, and I can actually tell you, Grosse Pointe, I can tell you, yeah, what street are you on? You know, you're on Hampton. Oh yeah, you're gonna have movement over there.
Yeah. Right.
If you're on you know, Allard, yeah, you're waterproof in your basement.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If you're in Ferndale, you know you're gonna be snaking a sewer out with tree roots.
Royal Oak kicks. Yeah.
So that's huge for any of our investors that are looking or getting into the flip game. You know, you can call a guy like Kevin and his company Hip, and they'll come out and do. I mean, is it just as in depth as if an owner occupant's buying it, or is it kind of like a cursory hour, like look for the big items because we know they're gonna be redoing the house anyways.
Well, a lot of times, because normally we go through an inspection, we check all the windows, all the receptacles, all the appliances. I'm not going to sit there on an investment inspection and watch the dishwasher run or wait for it to.
Right.
I mean, we run it on a short cycle. So basically, yeah, it's a little bit of an accelerated
process.
Yeah, it's an accelerated process.
And therefore, it's not as much.
Because you understand, if you're going to take, you know, if you're going to reside the house, I mean, okay, we're not going to look at every crack and, you know, crevice on the exterior siding of the house. I mean, it's important for your investor to know if it's asbestos or not.
Right.
But a lot of times you're going to go right over the top.
Sewer lines are a big thing for an investor.
Honestly, yes. And honestly, I can't tell you, I've picked up more investors just on our sewer scoping side of things because realistically, where you're at, if you're in South Warren, you're in Ferndale, you're in Royal Oak, I mean, the tree systems, anything really built after pre-1980 is probably going to have a cast iron or a clay crock pipe. And honestly, they're susceptible to root systems growing into them. And honestly—
Even cast iron?
Yes. For the $150 that we charge for that service, that could save you potentially $3,000 to $5,000 to $8,000.
If you got to go into the street, you're talking 12 or 15. I mean, you're 3 to 5 on a good day.
Then good. I got a good question. This is a good way to start because we've already gone in depth faster than everyone else. Everyone who always watches or listens to us are like, dude, you're all over the place. That's what you get when you get excited people about doing what you do. We're
passionate.
Boring. Yeah. You know, why do we do home inspections? Seriously, Kevin, why do we do home inspections?
Well, once again, it's the biggest purchase of your life. And basically, this is an insurance policy. This is an insurance policy in regards to finding out deficiencies. It's an education, like you talked about. You want to make sure that your biggest investment in your life, you're being protected so that you don't have major financial issues.
Or any surprises.
Surprises down the line. I mean, you could be in the house for, 6 months. I mean, something could happen, and that's the nature of things. Can you tell me when that light bulb's going to burn out, Tony?
Nope.
Okay, so once again, I can't predict the future, but at the same time, if we can give you life expectancies and
And the average life expectancy of an air conditioning unit is about 10 to 12 years.
8 to 12 nationally.
8 to 12 nationally, and since we only use it for half the time, it's usually good for double the time.
Right. And that's it's
amazing. Like I keep saying it again, and I'm going to repeat it one more time. This guy is badass. He knows his stuff. He knows the stats, and there is going to be no surprises. But every once in a while, you do run into surprises.
What's the average cost of a home inspection? How is that determined for our viewers that are watching and about to buy a home?
What we do is we usually go by square footage. But I can probably tell you the average home inspection is usually about $300 to about $350. And we start going up when you start getting into 2,000, 2,500 square feet. You start getting bigger when you start adding on multiple, HVAC systems. We usually charge a little bit
more. Three-story homes. I mean,
Yeah. And keep in mind, too, when you start talking about commercial buildings, because we do commercial inspections as well, and we do infrared, we also fly drones. So, I mean, bigger.
What's the infrared do? Fill people in.
I had a situation in East Point commercial building, and it was all electrical heat. And we actually took our infrared, and Kyle and I, we talked about going out to New Hampshire. We went to FLIR's world headquarters and became level 1 thermographers. But we took our infrared in there, and we found 2 of the coils in the ceilings that were non-functional.
Wow.
So how do you fix something like that, especially on electrical heat? So,
and it's built into the ceiling.
It's built into the ceiling. So realistically, I mean, we potentially saved that client
$20,000 or $30,000. Yeah.
Wow.
So it just – things like that. Water penetration. We really can't pick up a lot of water penetration. But a lot of times if there's an issue or if you think that we had a client in Rochester Hills 3 weeks ago where there was some bubbling in the stucco and he wanted the infrared to make sure that there was no water penetration back behind it. And it was interesting too because we shot that house and we could actually see because it was a hot day, 95 degrees, and we could actually see the cold registers from when the air was running on the inside of the house.
Wow.
We could shoot that from the outside.
Wow.
So you can see that we bring technology to it.
Oh, yeah.
And, do you guys do any infrared in the air from the drone? Do you have an infrared camera from the drone?
Tony, you fly drones, man.
Yes, I do.
That's expensive.
Oh, I didn't. I never checked it because I just expensive. Fly them for pictures for my clients.
That's military grade.
I was going to say that. That's military grade.
They use the infrared drones, which is basically just a camera on a regular drone, but usually a bigger drone. Like a commercial drone, and then they use it to check for gas leaks on pipes because the temperature of the gas is different, and you can see where the gas is leaking. So you could still do it from a rooftop to see where maybe your insulation isn't working properly.
That's right, or lack of insulation. That's another thing, a big deficiency that we can actually find with that. And the other thing, too, is when we start talking about energy audits, if you want to see what air movement's doing and everything once you get into your house to try to make it a little bit more energy efficient, then that's when we would actually, you'd call call for an energy audit. They would bring a cold a blower in, and we'd start to create zero pressure.
You guys do that?
We don't do it yet, Tony. We don't do it yet. I mean, 1,500 inspections a year. I mean, you know, and we try. You know, keep in mind too, as inspectors, we're members of the American Society of Home Inspectors.
Not a lot of people are.
That's right. And that's really, to me, that's the doctorate level of my profession. And then there's InterNACHI. And honestly, if you're choosing a home inspector, you want to make sure that they have certifications with either one of those organizations. The reason why is because we're required to do 20 continuing education courses or units a year, not like a real estate agent.
Well, we do 6 hours a year, 18 hours every three because we relicense every 3 years. You guys have to do 20 hours, 20 credit hours?
20 credit hours.
So you're saying you know more than Uncle Joe that's going to come by in his sweatpants and do a home inspection.
You know what? That's my biggest competitor.
I know. Uncle Joe. I was going to ask who your biggest competitor is.
My neighbors. He'll do it for $100. He's bought 5 houses. Yeah. He knows my dad.
Well, he could build a house. He's a jack of all trades.
My dad, he's bought 5 houses. He knows everything.
Yep.
But is dad going to pull the distribution panel? Is dad going to be really?
Is dad going to climb under the crawl space?
In the crawl space.
Does he know code?
They put on their Tyvek suits, then they crawl and their breathing masks, and they're muddy. And he always carries 2 or 3 different pair of shoes because they don't walk outside and then walk inside with the same shoes.
You never know what you're going to step in, Tony.
That's correct. Or lay in.
Doing things in Michigan, it's a pain in the ass to me to flip houses in Michigan because of the weather, cold, the elements, the outside, the exterior, you can't do a whole lot to. How do you overcome that hurdle when you have somebody and there's a foot of snow on the roof?
What we do is we actually try to climb the roof. And then once again, with the drone technology, a lot of times we can actually see chimneys. But what we do in the wintertime is we can, you know, basically we can just take a snapshot of what's going on. So we set the ladder up and basically all my guys carry shovels. And then what we take is we use brooms and we try to brush off as much of the snow and the ice as we can.
Exposing the shingles.
So that's right.
Dimensional three tab, how old possible.
Exactly. I can tell you if it's a dimensional shingle or it's a three tab shingle. I can lift it up and make sure that the drip edge is there. And also I'm going to make sure that the ice shield is up there.
Okay.
Because a lot of times those are the biggest components. And, you know, the reason why we use ice shield is because we had a lot of problems in the wintertime with gutters being dirty and lack of insulation, and we had a lot of ice damming issues. 20 years ago, we saw that all the time.
What's code 3 foot, but a lot of guys do 6 foot.
Technically,
roof for the ice. My roof, I did it completely right to the top. Yeah. I started laughing, and it's like,
He's excessive.
I am excessive, but everything
you do is over the top.
Yes, but if it's your house, it's a whole different ballgame. When you're building your house, when you're doing your things, I call it open checkbook. Yes, there is a certain level of, okay, enough is enough. But if you take your foundation, and I had that WatchGuard basement foundation system put in when I built my house, where it's got the little plastic bubbles, it's got the mastic.
Oh, I like that stuff. Yeah.
It's incredible. Yeah.
Well, you're talking dirty to Kevin now.
Yeah. Sexy time.
Yeah, he's getting excited.
Basement.
Yeah. Well, you know, though,
he can't stand up. He's excited.
And I see that, I know that the client did. You know that they did it. Right.
Yeah, I brought in 2 gravel trains of pea gravel around the base, about 2 or 3 foot high. Then I brought in 7 gravel trains of grade 2 construction sand. So you can literally spit in my yard and it drains down to the stone and goes into the sump system and clears out. The basement is now 20 years old. There's not a crack on the wall. There's not a rod hole leak. There's nothing. And when people don't realize, if you start with a good foundation, doing everything else it doesn't matter because it's not going to go away.
And how many houses, when we talk about builders, and investors need to know this too, is when you're looking at basements, what happens is builders are trying to turn the next one and turn the next one. And honestly, it takes time for concrete to cure.
Right.
And if you backfill up against a wall with the concrete not cured properly, it cracks it. And that's really why we have a lot of basement leaks.
Yeah.
And in the older communities, more mature communities, the drain tiles, they put clay crocks around the base of that, and that stuff fails.
Right.
And what happens is, or somebody stepped on it and broke it, or they put socks around
anything.
It, and now you get hydrostatic pressure, you get water pushed on those walls, and it goes higher and higher and higher, and that's when you start to get leakage and seepage.
Well, I mean, like you said, these communities that are 60, 70, 80 years old, I mean, just the building code, the materials, the knowledge they had back then just is nowhere near.
Methods and materials of construction change all the time. I drove through, and I've been in some of the buildings here in downtown Royal Oak, some of the high rises, and were the, you know, they just weren't built properly. And they've had
the newer high rises.
Yes, there's a couple of them over here on Main that they actually had to strip the skin off on them because they built the decks and they weren't flashed properly and they were leaking onto the lower other decks.
Oh,
and,
my gosh.
And so that's why my clients, actually was one of my fraternity brothers who lives over there, and he calls me. He's like, yeah, man, he goes, they're reskinning this building, and why? So I kind of went over there and investigated everything. I did his inspection. You would think even condo high rises, you don't. A lot of people don't think
why that they have to have an inspection. Right, because it's just concrete and four walls.
So once again, and I think that there was a, I don't know, but I think there was a lawsuit and there was a homeowners association issue with it, and it wound up costing people money. The people.
Oh, the association.
There. Yeah. So
we don't got a whole lot of time left. So what are some either horror stories, funny stories? I've seen your pictures you post on Facebook. Of some of the crazy stuff.
We call that my house
find.
Porn. That's my house porn.
He's got a great little thing on Facebook.
So the last one that we saw, I don't know if you saw the one from last week, but it never ceases
to
amaze me.
The panel in the crawl space. No.
The one where I'm a septic and well evaluator in Macomb County, and these guys on 25-mile road were actually bringing city water down from their house half a mile away, and they were pouring it into a cistern, and they were actually pumping the water, and they were drinking out of that water. And I'm sitting here, and I go, you know, and my, you know, my staff is there with me, and I'm like, okay, here's what we're going to – and there was a piece of wood sitting on top of it with a brick, and half it was broke. I'm like – and then I opened up the lid.
You could have got sick drinking that.
I opened up, and the wolf spider was probably about 2 inches around. And the client or the brother comes over, and he looks. I'm like, so what happens when that spider dies in that hole? Where does it go? So once again, you'd be surprised. This is the 21st century, and people are still drinking water like that.
Oh,
I mean, and then the other thing too is they actually had the laundry tub that was actually shooting right out to the front yard.
What?
Yeah, they were, you know, and so that's the why. And well, once again, as educators, as a Macomb County septic and certified septic and well evaluator,
and you've done plenty for us too.
That's right.
And in Macomb County, you cannot transfer a property without having a well and septic inspection. If you have well and septic, if you only have well, you have to have the well inspection. If you only have septic, you have to have the septic. But if you have them both, there's no transferring a property without those certifications.
So yeah, the bacteria, we did the water sampling, and I had no faith in that. I knew it was not going to pass.
Right.
I mean, and sure enough, the I think the chloroform count was high. I'm like, imagine that.
Chloroform. Yeah.
Wow.
So, the bacteria counts were high in it. So I'm like, yeah, people still do that.
Yeah, they don't. Crazy. They don't realize it. They don't realize how bad it is.
You know,
how about the homeowner special when you go in and they said, "I redid everything. I redid the plumbing and the electrical," and you start looking at it, and I mean, it's just it's like you look at the house, you're like, "How did this thing not light on fire?"
Fire, exactly. And keep in mind too that we're not code enforcers. I like to say that I'm a common sense and common sense approach to it, and you just kind of look at how sometimes people wire things up and. You know, and the other thing too is what we find, people are deceptive and they try to cover things up.
Sure.
And people get nervous about things. And, you know, I mean, keep in mind, it's a visual inspection. It's a visual inspection. I can't take things down. I'm not destructive. I can't take flooring up, or I can't take paneling off walls or drywall down. So realistically,
it's a limited visual inspection,
limited time visual inspection. So realistically, there's only so much that we can see. I mean, with our infrared technology, it's kind of given us a little bit of an X-ray, so to speak.
And there's clues and cues to look at, right? I mean, you can look at the outside of the house and possibly see things for foundation and whatnot, and be able to make some inferences
and
give some information to the client.
I tell you what. You know, I was in Detroit over in the fishing community off of, what is that?
Riverside?
Riverside? No. When you get off of Alter?
Alter Road.
And that fishing community over there by
Harbor
Mary's
Island
Park.
Over there?
Oh, man. So when you pull up to a house and you see the house is doing this.
To our listeners, because we do our Facebook Live, listeners, what are you saying?
It was probably at about a 30-degree list or a slant.
So it was the Leaning Tower of Pisa in Detroit.
And honestly, what happened is the footings had broke because there was a boat well underneath. And when I got into the boat well, there was probably about 6 inches above where all the wood was. And so what happened is that house literally broke in half.
What do you do when you show up to a house and you literally get out of your truck and you look at it and you're like,
I can't inspect.
Like, this person's not going to buy this house when I'm done with it. Do you still go through it?
You have to, because realistically, this could be the house of their dreams. And there was one time, I think, in my career that I've told somebody not to buy the house.
Wow, really?
One time. And they wound up buying the house.
Oh, jeez.
St. Clair Shores.
Did you get that in writing?
Yeah, I went down in the crawl space, and the post-powder beetles had hit probably a 7 or 8 joists underneath the front porch or the front of the house in the front room.
What do you call them?
Post powder beetles.
What's that?
So basically, if you're looking at a piece of wood and you see little black specks on it,
yep,
that's usually an entry point for a post powder beetle. And they like dark, cool places, i.e. crawl spaces.
Crawl spaces.
So now what happens is they actually eat the inside of the 2x and it compromises the integrity of the board. So you're able to take a screwdriver. When I see a postpartum beetle hole, I'll actually take a screwdriver and I'll hit the board. And honestly, that 7 of the 8 that I hit in that front area, and they were 16 on center, the screwdriver went through all of them.
Oh my God.
Wow. And I was like, it's going to cost you probably $20,000 to fix this.
Yeah. And they still wanted it.
They still wanted it. And it turned out that the buyer or the seller was a builder, and he had a crew of guys, carpenters on staff. And he actually had them go underneath there and sister everything up.
Yeah, reframe it.
Reframed it. So then I went back and I did a wood destroying insect. She refinanced the year later. And she's like, do you remember me? I go, yeah, I remember.
Told you not to buy the house.
You told me not to buy this house. And I was like, what happened? She goes, he fixed everything.
And that's fine. Well, that's you good. Gave him the info.
But at least it wasn't a surprise. She knew what she was dealing with.
So to answer your question, when I pull up, this could be the house of your dreams, and we're going to go through our procedure. But a lot of times, and Tony knows this, when you see me on an inspection and my eyebrow starts to raise I start to go,
the head
okay,
starts tilting.
The head starts to tilt. Okay. You know, a lot of times we'll give the clients, because if you're, you know, how much, everything's fixable, but how deep are your pockets, right?
Sure. Is it worth it? Yeah.
So you get to somebody who's a first time home buyer and they've got 4 kids and, you know,
barely enough for a down payment. They're looking for closing costs.
Yeah. Exactly. And you have a foundation issue on this house. Maybe this isn't the right. Usually the agent says that, but I'm like, you know, I kind of hint towards that. And you can kind of catch my body language a little bit. And
which I respect, because you have a lot of other guys that would just say, this house is horrible. Don't buy this thing. Right. You'd be crazy to buy this house. It's a piece of garbage. You know? Oh, I'm sure there's plenty of
things. He could probably teach home inspectors, and they would
probably
to be his competitors.
Yeah.
And, you know, competition breeds success. So at the end of the day, you should probably have a home inspection course teaching people how to do home inspections. You're that good at it, because people don't understand what integrity is and what we do. And I think us three, we really do that. Integrity is really probably more important
than
what we do. Cause you're only as good as your last at bat.
That's right. And reputation is all we have in life. And that's where my, you know, my sense of being is.
I want to roll back before we finish up here, cause we're almost out of time.
5 minutes, 4 minutes.
Yeah. We got about 10 minutes or so. How long we got, Jessica?
10 minutes.
10 minutes. Okay. 203K. Now, we're always talking to investors, and the majority of investors that I know out there are broke or have very little money to work with. And I mean broke, meaning they don't have.
They're cash broke.
They're cash broke.
They're not liquid.
But a 203K loan would be an FHA loan that loans you the money to do the repair as long as it's your principal residence.
That's right.
So let's say I want to buy my first home and it needs all these repairs and I want to get it done. So I get approved for a 203K loan, and then I got to get somebody to come in there and do the estimate. What do I do, Kevin?
Okay, so 203K, and here's how it works. I want to do the home inspection first. And I can tell you horror stories about not doing the inspection, and the contractor that was hired to do the work did the inspection, and we had mold in the attic, and we had cracked heat exchangers in the furnaces, and that added on to her cost.
Sure.
So once again, I want to be able to do the inspection. So once you get your approved for this, then what happens is you've got to find your contractor. You got to start working out the numbers.
And can it be any contractor?
Technically, you're supposed to be on the FHA list for that.
So you got to find a 203K approved FHA contractor.
And if you have a pulse and insurance, you can become an FHA contractor. That's all you need.
That's the problem.
That's the problem. Yeah, having a pulse is.
I deal with them all.
That's what happened with the mortgage crisis. If you had a pulse, you could get a mortgage. Yeah. So we're in the same predicament. So, okay, so you find a contractor.
Find the contractor, start working out somebody that you want to be comfortable with, that you can work with. And so then we start putting the numbers. When we go in and we do a feasibility study, where we go in and we look at what the numbers are, and we kind of look at, you know, what's high, what's low, and everything has to be itemized on this. You can't just do a broad stroke of, we're going to paint the walls, we're going to recarpet. You know,
no, it's got to say 384 square feet of paint at this price.
There's a little bit of work that has to go into this on the contractor's aspect, on the contractor's end of it. So basically, we look at all the numbers, and what we do is we put all the paperwork together, and we usually, you know, give it the thumbs up, or we make revisions. And then what we do is we actually submit that back to the bank, and they get approved for it. The other thing, too, about a 203K is making sure that, you know, if you're buying that $50,000 house and you want to put $250,000 into it, you got to make sure that it's going to appraise too.
Sure.
So that's a part of the process. And we had one of them that was kind of close to that. I mean, he wanted to put all granite in and everything else, and the market really didn't call for that. The neighborhood didn't really – some upgrades like that.
I get it.
So you want to make sure that it appraises. And then basically what we do is when we go over the $35,000, if you're hiring us to consult, then basically what we do is when the –
What's $35,000?
Then you got streamline and non-streamline. So streamline is under $35,000. Right.
You don't need you then.
They don't need me. But just once again, we look at you on the inspection, and we have to do the feasibility study for you.
Okay.
That's basically
so over $35,000, you
that's
take
when
care
the consultant comes in. And
what's your fees for that?
It varies.
Who size pays of, it, the bank or the buyer?
Well, the buyer.
The buyer. All up front?
Not up front. That's part of the loan
part
process.
Part of the loan.
Because
okay
all that gets rolled into your loan. So then what happens is we go out there when the contractor's ready for a draw. Then what happens is that's when we go out there and we take all of our pictures and we submit the paperwork back to the bank. We say, okay, we're ready for the draw.
So you're through this. You're tied to this through the whole process.
That's right. That's
wow
right. So once again,
somebody's paying attention at least. That's and at least we know
it
it's
is,
not
but
somebody.
I know what it takes.
We know
to go
at least
so
we know it's not somebody just with a pulse.
Yeah, but to go through a 35 plus renovation, I mean, it's a lot of time, and
yeah,
and
you
a lot
and I
of,
both know what it
a
takes
lot of
to
checking,
spend
35
grand.
So I mean,
yeah,
I can only
right
imagine with everything else he has going on with regular home inspections, to have to do that is taking a lot of their time.
Well, I mean, it's pretty easy. It's like any other inspection. We're going to schedule it. And draws, I mean, we usually make a couple $100 on a draw, and our fees, you know, they could run anywhere from $800 to $1,200 for us to be consultants on it.
I didn't know there was oversight on that, on those 203Ks.
And keep in mind, with every estimate that we get, we always add in 10%. We're always
for
putting
overages and
for
extras,
overages,
no matter
because
what
it happens, and you know that as an investor. Yeah, yeah, it's
oh,
going
to
happen.
40 turns into 60, 30 turns yep into 40. Yeah.
Exactly.
Just, I mean,
and then the city
happens
comes, and they're like, oh, hey, you need a new permit for that.
Yeah.
You didn't know about
yeah
it. So once again, that's the kind of the stuff that we understand. And what I like to do with this is I've done enough of these, and actually Tina is the true 203K consultant because she handles all the paperwork. But I like to put everybody on the same page.
Sure.
I like to meet the client and the contractor, and I like to be there and go, okay, we're all going to get along, aren't we?
I was going to say, like, what happens when you show up and that contractor, because I know how they are, I need a draw, you know,
oh,
they're broke, I need a draw.
Well,
and you say, there ain't 10 grand worth of work done.
Well, that's why you're not getting a mom and pop. Hey, my husband knows how to do this. It's not working.
And there's no self-help. That's what we call self-help.
Correct.
So the client can't do any. I mean, in the old days, they used to be able to paint, and they used to, oh, we're going to put the carpet in. And then you saw a lot of contractor client issues with that.
Yeah.
So once again, there's no more self-help. So the contractor is the quarterback, and he has to do everything.
Right. So one contractor has to hire all the subs. You can't say,
that's
oh,
right,
I've got my brother-in-law's an electrician. Like you said, I mean, if he could work for the contractor, it's one thing. But at the end of the day, you still have to be licensed.
And I kind of laugh at it because the one contractor, I've done 20 of these. I do these all the time. And then all of a sudden he calls the office the day that they close. He's like, I need $50,000 for a draw. I'm like,
that's what I was talking about.
Yeah. You
haven't done a stitch of work, haven't done any work.
What's the main reason most businesses fail in the first 5 years?
Undercapitalized.
Undercapitalized. Mm-hmm. When you call a contractor and he needs that kind of money up front.
Oh, man.
Beware.
All right. So let me ask you guys this. Yeah. How do you find a good contractor in your business?
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Asking. I mean, really, at this point, it's a crapshoot. You could call right now. I'm trying to get a concrete guy to do work at my big renovation at Grosse Pointe, and you wouldn't believe what I'm going through. And I'm talking reputable companies. The problem is everybody is so busy right now, and the economy is so damn good. Half of these companies forgot what customer service is. You want to know why? Because I tell them to, go F themselves, and they got 3 months of work lined up anyway. So now they don't care. Yeah. It wasn't like it was 7 years ago when they'd beg you for work and, give you their best price and call you and follow up.
I talked to a landscaper today, and I said, look, I need some help. I said, give me a fair price. I said, I'll send you a ton of business. He goes, I don't need any more business. I got 16 crews, and it's like, I'm booked out 2 months in advance.
They come right out and tell you that. It's amazing. Like, well, I don't need any more business.
I said, maybe you need 18 crews.
Is that good that they tell you right out of the gate?
Yes, it is good.
Because they're not going to waste your time, and your expectations you're not going to have any expectations.
Well, I respect it because I know if I need this aspect of the project done because it's holding up three others, that he's not my guy, so don't waste any more time or energy on
it. And keep in mind, every level of investor, I mean, you were talking about that, everyone's different.
Sure.
If you're flush with cash or if you're not, and then you want the cheapest guy and you want to beat him up on the price, and then if there's a nick in the door that he installed and you want to take, you know, another $200 to off of that, I understand from the investor standpoint, but you beat a contractor up,
no,
somebody
who's
good.
So you can't do that in this
market. You take care of them, man.
You know, I used to be able to do that 5 years ago. Here's my price. It's $500. Do you want the job or not? Because I got five other guys that want it.
Right.
Now, I'm like I said in one of the previous shows, I'm talking a little nicer to them. I'm saying please.
That's right.
But at the end of the day,
So
at the end of the day, they're still your partners. Even though they work for you and you're the main guy, they're still your partners and you got to treat them like your partners.
I would tell your investors, let's start with Angie's List. You know, because my company, I'm the highest, most reviewed, highest rated on Angie's List. Home Advisor, okay. But realistically, you don't want to call Craigslist. No,
Kevin learned that the hard way already.
You know, well, hey, listen, he's right. I mean, it's a crapshoot. Probably 9 out of 10 guys aren't going to work out. Now, over 100 guys, I've found 7 or 8 guys.
Correct. And that's what you do.
But the best guys have been word of mouth. Like I said, you know, when I really need somebody, I'll throw it out on Facebook, honestly.
Right? There are investor sites. I had a client the other day who called me about a roof that was leaking. I'm like, you need to get this fixed now. And the Grosse Pointe mom swap or the dad swap or something like that, which honestly, if you're a contractor, if you're anybody and you make a mistake on that, they're going to talk about you.
Yeah. Normally, I call a friend and I have him get me a few estimates. And then after I get the estimates, I have him schedule the repairs on Thursday of next week. And then he takes care of it all for me.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a joke, you guys.
Yeah, look at this guy.
So, I can't even tell a good joke today.
So once again, I mean, paying the contractors and making sure they're diligent, your diligence in finding them. But I think that, you know, I'm not a big fan of Yelp. I think there's a lot of crazy people out there and I deal with it every day and Yelp reviews are garbage to me.
There's always that element of somebody's just going to make nasty comments.
There's a lot of people
because they're angry because they're bored and miserable.
You'll
at
get
home,
more.
Man.
You'll get more people saying bad things about you because they're passionate. They're upset.
I listed a rental property on Craigslist and RentLinks and whatnot, and I had like 20 people and I took a deposit and rented out. I own the home. I own multiple homes, and I started getting emails from one lady that was interested saying you're going to be in the Fox 2 Hall of Shame. You don't own that home and this and that. I said
I'm going to get 7 on my side.
I said you're going to look like an idiot. Go to the city of East Point, ask them, you know, who I am. And if I own the property, I said, don't waste your time, you know. But my point is that you can't control what some people say.
Correct.
You know, if out of 10 people, 9 of them say you're good and that you do a good job, then you're probably doing something right.
That's right. That one person is an outlier, probably. Reputation is all we have in life.
That's it. So, doing what you say you're going to do, right?
Yeah.
You know, just doing what you're saying. That's what I'm getting frustrated with some contractors. I got an asphalt company right now. Said they're going to be at my house on July 9th to rip out and install on the 17th. This was from their main guy. Then I talked to the owner yesterday and he says that they're not sure when they're going to rip it out and they're going to be in the first week of August. It's like, you know, can you guys decide? Because I have to schedule landscapers and we got some noise going on.
There's a car alarm going off and it's sounding in the building here.
I was just trying to get everybody's attention. It was me.
Nobody was listening
to me.
I'm like,
who is stealing my Jeep?
Oh my gosh.
Sorry about that, folks. I apologize.
No.
Hey, you know what? Time has flown.
Yeah, we're 50
minutes
in.
This has got to be one of our
we could go on another hour, right? We'll bring him on. We'll bring him back on.
Love to have you back on. Would you like to be back on?
I'd love to. Thanks a lot for the opportunity. And once again,
it was our pleasure.
Go ahead and
tell us how do we get a hold of you?
If somebody has a house that they're going to buy and they need, you know, an inspector, who do they call?
My name is Kevin Stripling. The name of the company is Home Inspection Professionals. You can reach us at www.homeinspectionprofessionals.com, 586-443-5042, 877-HIP-3200. That's how you get hold of us.
Facebook.
You can find us.
When they call, they're going to speak to Tina, most likely.
Or Kristen. And keep in mind, too, you can schedule online 24/7.
Wow.
So for our agents, that's one thing that we do for them is, let's say you ink that deal at 10 o'clock at night, you can always go to our website, and we do have an online scheduler.
Wow.
So that really helps out too. So
that's awesome,
Kevin. If somebody wants to,
if anybody out there has a house that they want to just sell for cash quick, be done with it, distress sale. You know, somebody passed away in the family. You don't want people walking through your home. I have cash. I can close you in 5 days. Give me a call at 586-855-4041 or go to my Facebook page, Cash the number 4, Your House Now, and take a look. And then likewise, if anybody has a home that they want to list for sale in this hot market, prices are through the roof. If you want to cash out on that equity, or you have a house that you found that you want to buy and aren't working with a realtor, definitely give Tony and his team a call at
586-773-4400, or find us at on Facebook at the Raffin Team, or you can go to our website, www.talktotony.com. That's another one for you guys. You can enjoy it. And if you like what you heard today, if you found it interesting, please share our Facebook page and a link with everybody.
Comment on today's show. If you have questions for Kevin, we went through so much information. We touched on so many things that we literally could talk another 3 or 4 hours with him. If anybody has a question about the house they're looking to buy, or a question they have about inspections or something about a home, type in the comments. And next show or next time we have Kevin on, we'll definitely circle back and hit it.
Or we'll reply right back on Facebook, too. And you can find us at fixitandflipit.com.
Yep.
And you can also find us on SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher, and iTunes. We're big time now.
Anything else you got to plug or no?
No, I got nothing else to plug. That's except what did you do on the 4th of July, Kevin?
4th of July? I think I was on the water.
See?
I was boating.
I got out there for a little bit too.
I was on the boat. So, yeah. Wow. Hey, big shout out to my wife, because I told her I was doing a podcast.
Yeah.
Please. She's like, I'll listen. I love podcasts. And I'm like, awesome. So, hey, Shan, love you and thanks for listening.
All right. Like they say, if you don't want a broke man, you better be able to deal with a busy man, right?
That's absolutely correct.
She's his rock behind him and
she's a teacher, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Integral part of where I am today because of her.
So, that's awesome. Well, thanks for being with us again. Look forward to hearing your comments and concerns down below. Let us know. We'll get back with you. Any questions for future episodes, any ideas, or anybody you think that would be awesome to be on the show, leave us a message on our Facebook page and we'll get back with you right away. Thanks again for being on and listening to our show. Bye.
See you next time.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Fix It and Flip It with Tony Raffin and Kevin McClellan. Be sure to stop by our Facebook page, like it and follow, and come back again next week so you can arm yourselves with the tools and strategies to become a successful real estate entrepreneur. This is Fix It and Flip It.